Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid. Nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away. Standing by a parking meter.
And it has been a really busy week. For sure. And next week is going to be the start of the Trump criminal trial. All the jurors now have been selected and opening statements start on Monday. By the way, you cannot make this up. I just saw that a hearing for the civil case, that's the $175 million bond. Remember, that is what Letitia James is putting, is basically saying is not correct. Because remember, originally, she wanted close to half a billion dollars. They then reduced it, the courts, and said, New York court said this is out of line. And they reduced it to the $175 million bond that he had to put up. That was, again, in the civil case. And still, Letitia James says that bond may not be accurate. So there's going to be a hearing on the civil bond on Monday, and it's going to be about a half hour before opening statements start in the New York criminal case. You can't make this up. I mean, they're trying to go after him every which way but loose. $175 million, I guess, is just not enough for Letitia James. Oh, no, she's saying that maybe that bond that was posted by Trump is not legitimate. So she's questioning the authenticity of the bond. And now there's going to be a criminal case and a civil case with President Trump on Monday. And this comes as there is so much crime happening all over New York and so many different issues. If you look at what's happening, there was this hockey stick wielding maniac who suddenly threatened a woman in New York in a random attack saying, I'm going to blank you up, and whacked her in the East Village in New York. Suddenly, just out of the blue. Can you imagine some crazy guy walking down the street with a hockey puck and then starts whacking some woman out of the blue? It's like these sucker punch cases. And then you have this case of a homeless man with a long rap sheet. There were some kids that were trying to sell candy at the New York City train station. He didn't like it, so he goes and punches one of the kids. I mean, it's like, there is no limit. There's no boundary. There's so much random crime and some horrible crime. Even one of the jurors, one of the people who didn't get selected, but while he was sitting there, he was like, let me tell you what went on in my background. My mother was assaulted. My girlfriend was assaulted. My brother was assaulted. Everybody's like, whoa. And he's like, yeah, this is typical New York. And of course, he didn't get picked because they don't want somebody who can put all of this in perspective. They're probably like, get rid of juror number 12. He really has real life experiences in New York, and he's going to go, what are we doing in this case on a business ledger issue at a time where things are so, so serious? But the jury is seated, and I want to hear your thoughts. If you actually think that there's one juror, and the reason it has to be one juror, because I don't think the other 11 are going to be. I'm not sure who's going to be, but maybe they'll surprise me. But maybe there'll be one juror in there who is going to say, you know what, I'm going to be a hung juror and I'm going to make this case basically fall apart and say that this is just not legitimate. There are so many other more serious things, like somebody waving a hockey stick or punching a kid on a train station. The other day, somebody got stabbed by a screwdriver on a bus. I mean, there are all these horrible, shocking crimes that are happening all over New York City. And Alvin Bragg, our DA, seems to be giving those people pass after pass after pass. They all have long rap sheets. And yet, He's going after Trump and spending millions upon millions of dollars. And it is all, of course, while Trump is on the campaign trail. You just cannot make this up. And again, now we're hearing he'll be dealing with the civil issue while he's dealing with the criminal issue. So maybe there's a way he can kind of ping pong between courtrooms and just kind of pop over and deal with that one, too, as well. And of course, Jack Smith, not to be outdone, the special prosecutor is saying, you know, I got to have a bite of that apple. He's trying to hurry up and see if he can get one of his cases, the classified documents case, or also potentially the other case with the election interference, the January 6th so-called case. So there's a lot of stuff on President Trump's plate. And I'm glad he went to visit the bodega of Jose Alba this week. That was a great move. It was a smart move, and it was the right move. Because Jose Alba, boy, did that guy get sandblasted. I mean, he never should have been charged. He was defending himself in that bodega when the guy hopped over the counter. And he epitomizes this ludicrousness of what is not law and order in New York. New York is falling apart. There are so many problems. There was a new poll that just came out that showed what are the issues that are the biggest issues to New Yorkers. And 2-1, public safety and crime reach the top of the list. People are fed up. They are frustrated. They're also looking, by the way, at what other issues? The migrant issue, of course. All the expenses for the migrants. Finally, people are going, maybe this doesn't really make too much sense that we're spending X amount on the migrants. And there was a new poll that showed $1.5 billion is what American taxpayers are paying for the migrants. Every individual taxpayer that is paying taxes, $1,100 each. Are you happy that you're spending $1,100 each for the migrants that are coming illegally to this country? While we're hearing that homeless kids, the number, especially in New York City, is going up, 30%. So why don't we maybe take care of homeless kids that are American kids first before we're spending $1.5 or $150 billion, I should say, on the migrants? By the way, also another poll that came out, this came out from the Manhattan Institute. This is really interesting. It shows that people are also frustrated when it comes to Eric Adams, New York City mayor. They feel like the city is out of control. His job approval rating, which is really interesting, is coming in. Get this. If the election were held today, who would you vote for? 16% said Eric Adams. Someone else to be named, 65%. That's a huge difference. And not sure was 19%. So not sure got more votes than 16% for Eric Adams. And again, 65% said they definitely want somebody else. They are fed up. They're seeing gobbledygook on the crime. And on the migrants, they're seeing a lot of perks and a lot of really good American citizens not getting anything. And people are downright disgusted. So in the middle of all this, we also have protests. And that's a whole other thing, too. These protests, I am so disgusted when I am seeing these protesters out and about. They went back to Columbia University today because, God forbid, they take a break from protesting. Remember, a lot of them were arrested, including Ilhan Omar's daughter, who was out there. She was very upset that she got arrested. How dare she get arrested? God forbid. But she was out there and wreaking havoc and causing unnecessary distraction and harm. I'm surprised they should throw the book at these protesters, not just for blocking traffic, but some of the vile, hateful, disgusting things that we are hearing out of them. There is such a difference between free speech and hate speech. And one of the most disgusting things I think I have heard out of any of the protesters came just last night. This is at Columbia University, where they were chanting and cheering about October 7th. Now, remember, October 7th is when Hamas came in and slaughtered and raped and beheaded and murdered 1,200 plus Israelis, killing children, killing women. It is horrific. There is no gray. Like, at first, these people were like, you know, we care about the Palestinian people. Then they started talking about pro-Hamas. Then they started waving the Hezbollah and Hamas flags. Then they started burning the American flags. And now I just call them pro-Hamas protesters because many of them, that is what they clearly are. Some of them, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them are definitely pro-Hamas, and they don't even hide it anymore. They are so disgusting. Some of the comments that they have said, we love Hamas. Hamas is the greatest. Let's praise Hamas. Let's hope Hamas does it again. And then one of the protests last night at Columbia University, well, the protesters said October 7th, boy, was that a great day, and let's make sure it happens over and over and over again. What kind of monsters are out there thinking it's okay to be praising what happened on October 7th when women and children and elderly, the most like innocent among us, were beheaded and mutilated? And you're praising animals like this? Listen to what some of these protesters said last night, again, at Columbia University, an Ivy League school in the United States.
Remember the 7th of October.
Never forget the 7th of October.
That will happen.
Never forget the 7th of October.
Not one more time. Not five more times. Not 10 more times. Not 100 more times. Not 1,000 more times.
No, 10,000 times.
How despicable is that? Yeah, let's have raping and beheading thousands more times. That's not free speech. That is disgusting. It's violent. And it needs to stop. We need to start throwing the book at these people. When we come back, we're going to take your calls on that. And of course, the Trump trial getting heated up. It starts on Monday with opening statements. 1-800-848-9222. And you're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
The Rita Cosby Show. It's the Rita Cosby Show.
And boy, a lot has happened since last June. I'll give you that, Donna Summers. And you can never go wrong when you are listening to the radio and you're listening to the Rita Cosby Show on what is another very busy Friday night. And President Trump came out swinging today in court saying that everybody is out of control. The DA, Alvin Bragg, the judge should recuse himself because, first of all, he donated to Biden. His daughter also, remember, is raising funds for Democratic candidates and also big names like Biden, Obama, some of the others. That sure sounds like a conflict of interest. And he said this whole thing is basically bumpkiss that the fix is in. Listen to what he said.
I think the whole world is watching this hoax. You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess, and you have the leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by a lot. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president. He should be in trial with all the stuff he's done and his family.
He said he should be in trial, except Trump himself is going to be very busy on Monday in the civil and the criminal case. Now they have seated the 12 jurors. Now, one of them came today and got dismissed after she came forward and said that she just is too emotional, that there's too much stress in the case. And I guess if she's feeling that now, it's a good thing she's getting removed because it's going to get even more stressful. That is for sure. There was another one who got removed a couple days ago when she came out and said that her colleagues and her family figured out it was her. Because, you know, sometimes they make a description. Hey, the person lives here. In this part of town, they're an attorney, they moved from Ireland, they did this, they did that. Sometimes maybe it's a little too much information. And some people said that they were not comfortable, clearly, because it's supposed to be private. You're not supposed to put out the information. And now the judge is telling the media that they shouldn't be giving out all the details of these jurors. Two of them we know are attorneys. So that's going to be kind of interesting to see, because maybe one of them will say, you know what, let's look at this case on its face. Let's also put it in perspective of all the other things that are going on in New York and all the other cases out there. And is this really something where I want to be throwing the book for the first time at the former president of the United States in a criminal case? And also, you got to wonder about some of these jurors, because I've covered a lot of trials through the years. And sometimes jurors, a lot of times, I did a story on what happens to jurors in high profile cases. It's interesting. I thought about it just recently, a couple hours ago, with all the pressure from these jurors coming out. And I did a story when I was in the Carolinas about some people who did ones tied to some high profile preachers. You know, there's some big preachers there, the well-known ones. And suddenly they were throwing the book at some of them. Some of them tied to the mob, and other ones where they were worried about repercussions if they suddenly voted against somebody and somebody didn't like it. They're worried they'd find a horse head in their bed or something like that, like Godfather. But there really is a lot of stress when you're a juror, you know? I mean, and especially on a high-profile case like this where there's a lot of media, even though their name is not supposed to get out, a lot of times, you know, you figure it out. Somehow you find out, or, you know, there's different ways. I know I've covered a lot of cases where they're like, oh, the, you know, jury bus is heading this direction, or they're going there, or they're going back to the hotel, and you sort of figure out where. And some of them want the attention, too. That's the other thing. There are ones who think, God, this could maybe be my big break. I can write a book afterwards on the Trump jury, juror number six, the Trump juror, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of people who are looking for their 15 minutes of fame. And I'm really happy that at least this one juror came out today and she said, you know, I just cannot be impartial. I give her credit, at least for being honest, because there are a couple others who are like, you know, I can't stand Trump. Orange man bad, but I have no opinion. You're like, right. But anyway, listen to this one. At least she came out and said, no, I don't think this is for me.
What happened? Why were you dismissed?
Because I couldn't be impartial.
You couldn't be impartial. So when the judge asked that hand, can you be impartial? You raised your hand and you said you cannot.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. At least she said it. At least I give them credit. It's the ones that you wonder that go, oh, no, I have no opinion. I've never heard of the name Trump. What is Trump? I've never heard of that. That sounds familiar. You know, that's when you go, ah, the fix is in on that one. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Dom in Minnesota. Dom, your thoughts.
Rita, let's go to La La Land for a second here, shall we?
You know, I love that phrase. Go ahead.
What if, as an act of desperation, Biden, after reading the polls, came out and said, I have decided to immediately pardon Trump as long as he promises not to run against me. What do you think that will do to the country's psyche?
It's an interesting thing. I think it would be a no deal. I think Trump would say that ain't going to happen. And I don't see Biden doing that. I mean, maybe if he, like you said, if he sees the polls. But you know, it's interesting so far, Dom. I mean, so far, he sees the polls are tanking even on the border. Wide open, 10 million people coming through, and he hasn't even done anything to change the course on that. And you think he's going to do any favors for Trump? Nada.
Rita Cosby is on. Cosby Show presents Back the Blue.
And this Back the Blue segment is sponsored by GoyaCares.com, because you are a precious gift from God. Be sure to check out GoyaCares.com. They do so much to combat human trafficking and to also instill the values of faith and family. So check out everything that they do to help those who have been victims of human trafficking across the globe. They do it not just here in our country, but everywhere. They're extraordinary people led by the great Bob Unanue. Check out GoyaCares.com. And this powerful story coming from Fargo, North Dakota, where the police department there is commending an officer, Officer Jake Skelly, for locating a suicidal man and saving his life. Police were called around 4 in the morning last Saturday to help a local police department in the area find an actively suicidal man. At the time, they didn't know where he was, but they had information to believe he was in the process of attempting to end his life. Moorhead police initiated a GPS location search of the man's cell phone, which narrowed his location down to a quarter mile radius in South Fargo. But that's still a big area when you think about it. While maintaining active communication with the man's wife for approximately an hour, Officer Jake Skelly showed exceptional determination in exhausting all possible leads. He had the man's wife check their recent online banking activities, and he learned that the man had checked into a hotel in the 1400 block of 35th Street South. Skelly saw the man's vehicle in the parking lot and figured out which room he was in. He didn't receive a response from anybody in the room, but based on the life-threatening circumstances and other information he had about the man's deteriorating condition, Officer Skelly entered the hotel room and provided immediate life-saving care. The Fargo Police Department said that Officer Skelly's determination to locate this man just in the nick of time demonstrated the department's core values of professionalism and guardianship, as his actions led directly to the preservation of this man's life. What a powerful, powerful story, and the great quick thinking of our law enforcement, our great men and women in blue, to say, let's look at the bank records. Let's see what's going on. Let's see where the activity is, and pinpointing where this man was. And thank goodness saved his life. Well, there are so many issues that have to deal with crime in this country. And yet Alvin Bragg, soft on crime Alvin Bragg, is focused on Trump, Trump, Trump. And you got to hear this line. This was one of my favorite lines of the day. Earlier today on Katz and Cosby, John Katzimatidis and I, we were talking with Greg Jarrett. And of course, you know, we always have a full panel today. We had former New York Governor David Patterson. We have New York GOP Chair Ed Cox, also Judge Weinberg, and of course, John and myself. And we had on Greg Jarrett, who is the Fox News legal analyst. And we asked him, what are the chances that President Trump will get a fair trial in deep blue, 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 blue New York, where almost 90% of the people voted for Biden? And here's the answer of the day.
Witches had a better chance of a fair trial in Salem than Donald Trump in Manhattan.
Witches in Salem had a better chance than Trump in Manhattan. That's a good one. And that's probably true, because it seems like this judge at every single turn is like voting against Trump. He's like, I'd like a change of venue. Nope. We'd like to know who the witnesses are so we can prepare. Nope. You can't say anything, but they can say whatever they want. It's a one-way gag order. Okay. What are you going to do? You can't say a word. You can't even post a story. He posted a story the other day about Michael Cohen. It wasn't even like original reporting. He just posted a story that was already published out there. And then he got admonished for that. I'm waiting for the judge to say, you're breathing. We're going to admonish you. I mean, it's almost like a joke. It's so transparent that this judge just is not doing anything to make it, I think, fair for the president. It's clear. It's a setup. And that's how I feel from the get-go. And even Stephen A. Smith, the great sportscaster there, and he's a self-professed Democrat. I mean, he's come out. And he said to him that this looks so set up at a time where there's so many serious issues in this country. We just talked about all the crime in New York, on the subways, on the streets, everywhere, and also across this country. If you were with me last night, and I hope many of you were, we were there talking about the strikes that Israel was doing on Iran, whether it was the nuclear sites or not. I mean, these are huge deals we're talking about in the world. We're talking about Ukraine. We're talking about our wide open southern border. There's a lot of issues going on. And for some reason, the Democrats are clearly fixated on Trump, Trump, Trump. They're not fixing the border. They're not doing a lot of stuff. They just want to knock out Trump. And to me, it is so indicative, I agree, of how desperate they are and also how dirty they'll play. And even Stephen A. Smith, self-professed Democrat, says he sees it too.
To my liberal friends out there, all you're doing is showing that you're scared you can't beat them on the issues and the merits. That's why he keeps saying it's a political campaign against me. That's why he keeps saying they can't beat me at the election, at the polls. This is the only way they could do it. And if you don't put him in jail, and he still goes from being the presumptive GOP nominee to the official GOP nominee, and he goes to the polls, even though he was going to whine about winning and being rigged again, you have given more fodder to that argument, which means we'll never have peace in this country because tens of millions of people see what extent the other side is willing to go through just to keep him out of office because they can't beat him on their own merits. And they're going to say, hey, you trumped this up against him again. And we'll have no peace when all you got to do is figure out a way to beat him on the issues. But you haven't been able to do it.
Wow. So if you're going to beat him fair and square. Don't try to jail them. I mean, again, this is like, to me, this is what you see in communist countries. This is what you see. You guys know my father was a freedom fighter in Poland. This is what you see when the communists took over Poland and they didn't like anybody who spoke out against the government or wanted to talk about the past. They got rid of the statues, hint, hint. They started doing all this stuff and they were like jailing people just because they didn't agree with them. I mean, that's a scary place to be. And it comes at the same time that President Biden is allowing all these protesters around the country who are shouting about how great October 7th was and shouting how they love Hamas. Those people somehow are okay. Only a few of them have even gotten a slap on the wrist. That's the most. They're already back out. They're already protesting back out there again today. So you got all of that going on. And then you're going after Trump. And we're worried about a wide open southern border. We're worried about all these threats to the homeland. And Bragg is worried about Trump and going down in history as the guy who got the first conviction, even if it's a Class E felony. And at the end of the day, it won't probably go anywhere, although technically it shouldn't go anywhere. But then this whole case shouldn't go anywhere. Who knows? Maybe this will be the first time for a business ledger improper entry that somebody actually gets jailed for life. You know, I think if the Democrats had their way, they would try it. Sadly, but true. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Jacqueline. Jacqueline, it's going to be a wild week next week.
Well, you know what, Rita? The jurors, whether they are honest or dishonest or biased, they can only deal with the information that's presented to them. And to all the Trump haters that like to call with their version of reality and their alternative facts, I want to explain something to them. The prosecutor in the confidentiality non-case against President Trump has moved to exclude a lot of the evidence, specifically the over 300 emails between Michael Cohen and his personal attorney, Bob Costello, who tried to provide the grand jury with the information from those emails, but the prosecutor only allowed 6 of those 300 emails to be introduced to the grand jury.
Now, do you, by the way, I'm familiar with some of the discussions because I remember that he told, you know, Bob Costello, who, you know, an attorney, we had him on the show. I know exactly who Bob is, that Michael had essentially said, oh, no, there's nothing there. And at one point, Bob Costello, and he repeated this to us on the air, he said, you know, I asked Michael Cohen, if you have anything on Trump, let me know now, just because he was working with, he was defending Cohen, sort of helping Cohen. Let me know if you got something, because I don't have anything. And he said if there was ever a moment at that point, the guy looked like he was on the verge of breaking, just a breakdown, that he said he was very honest about a whole bunch of other stuff. And he believes that he doesn't have anything. So do you know what the six are that they're allowing, these six emails that they're putting in, Jacqueline?
That I don't know, but Michael Cohen did tell Bob Costello himself that Donald Trump didn't do anything. President Trump did nothing. The incident that is alleged with Ms. Daniels never even happened. And Bragg won't allow Bob Costello to testify as a material witness for President Trump because it would prove instantaneously that there's no case and no crime was committed and that Michael Cohen, once again, is a liar. He's a blatant liar.
Well, and of course, he's got a checkered history of being fast and loose. And, you know, the fact that he is the lead witness, apparently, in this case, I think speaks volumes. And then whenever the president's tried to even criticize him, they gag him. You know, what's also amazing. I just brought this up, Jacqueline, too. This is astounding. And I'm not an attorney. I have a lot of friends who are. But I've covered a lot of legal cases and journalism and law 101. Is that both sides should get the information at the same time, or at least, you know, soon after, right? First of all, they didn't get 30,000 worth of documents. Remember that the feds just handed over? It was a couple weeks ago. That was what delayed the trial, like 3 weeks. Remember that old deal? Oh, yeah, we'll give you 3 weeks to go through 30,000 documents. Then it just came out a few minutes ago, Jacqueline, that the prosecution is not sharing with the defense who the first witness is, and they're not going to share it. They're going to be gracious, and they're going to share it on Sunday night because it could be as early as Monday morning who the witness is. And they even said, if for some reason Trump leaks it out or posts something about that person or whatever, or posts a story about that person or anything, then we'll never tip you off again. I'm sorry, that is not the way justice works. You're supposed to know exactly who is testifying against you. How are you going to defend yourself? You should have known weeks ago, because then you can do research. Then you can prepare. Were they going to like spring everybody in and have these surprise witnesses? I mean, this is exactly like a sort of a Soviet show trial. You know, it's like, let's just bring somebody in and we're not going to tell him who it is. We're not going to give him even ample time to defend himself. I mean, it's outrageous that the judge is allowing this, Jacqueline. This judge is just, I feel like, has crossed every ethical barrier. And every attorney I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot of them, even just in the last 24 hours, they cannot believe that this judge is allowing that, is allowing not to share, say, yeah, prosecution, you can just kind of surprise them with witnesses. Don't worry about it. I mean, that alone speaks volumes, Jacqueline. Your thoughts?
Based on that alone, Rita, everything that you just stated and all the information that already had been previously withheld from the defense team, that based on that alone, that the case should be dismissed. So they're playing dirty pool. They play in dirty pool, and they know there is no one that is going to hold them accountable. Who's going to hold Marchand accountable? Who's going to say, oh, a mistrial must be declared? He's the one who has to declare the mistrial. There's no way in hell he's going to do that.
Yeah, and he should have over his daughter, too. I mean, that to me also was the other thing, the whole thing with the daughter, the fact the daughter is making money and has been soliciting sort of on this case. I mean, there are reports that, you know, that she kind of put out the ask for money on this case. She's also working directly with like Biden and Obama. I mean, that alone, the appearance of impropriety, or the appearance, I should say, of conflict of interest, rather, to me, that speaks volumes. And the standard is the appearance. There's probably a conflict of interest, not even the appearance. And yet this judge is not budging. I agree. There are so many questions about this case. It's like a first ever that we're going to surprise witnesses. A first ever. We're not going to allow people who could help exonerate him. A first ever. You know, I mean, it is really surprising. And then on the other hand, Bragg, by the way, on Monday morning, it's going to be a busy Monday morning, because Bragg is also trying to get in all these past cases that if Trump testifies, he's trying to get in past cases that he can bring up against Trump should he take the stand. So like he's going to bring up the E. Jean Carroll case. He wants to bring up this. The judge is going to rule on that. Jacqueline, I would surmise the judge is going to go, sure, you can go all the way back, not the whole way back, but from age one and a half on. Yeah, from when he could take his first steps, anything from there on. But before that, no, no, no. But any time after that, anything he did after that, if he jaywalked, we'll be sure to bring that in too. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. 1-800-848-9222. We'll continue your calls, everybody, after the break.
It's the Rita Cosby Show. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
About the Trump trial now that 12 jurors and 6 alternates have been seated. We're also going to talk about other initials in the next hour, not ABC, but NYPD, because they were busy today outside the Trump courthouse where a guy set himself on fire. They're also a little busy with all these crazy protests, and these kids really need a wake-up call. I'm telling you, some of the despicable things we are hearing out of their mouths as things are getting more and more heated in college campuses. I never imagined we would see some of the vitriol and some of the pushing and shoving and disrespect to our officers and just utter disrespect for the Jewish population. The fact that they're chanting, "We love Hamas," or chanting to black NYPD officers, like white protesters are saying, "You're KKK. I mean, you just can't make it up. These people have no clue, but they are also quite dangerous when you see that kind of vitriol and they're pushing and shoving. And again, they're right back at Columbia University setting up their little tent city all over again. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Stan. Stan, what are your thoughts about the Trump trial?
First, I wanted to say about what's going on with the protests. You know, I'm Jewish. I despise what's going on here in every way. But as much as I despise it, I never know how much our country is being tested in terms of its freedom of speech. I hate these people, what they're doing. We are being tested as never before, freedom of speech. Do we allow this? We up to a point. Even you have said they should be arrested, this and that. Freedom of speech is a cherished thing in this country. But there are limits, and the bells go off, and in instances when they take over a bridge of this and that, they should be arrested. But we have never been tested in freedom of speech like we have now. I think you'll agree on that. Never have I seen it like this. It's disgusting as it is. So we'll see what happens.
I agree. By the way, I agree, but I'm also, you know me, I feel like some of this stuff, there's a difference between freedom of speech and saying something that you're for, you know, you're for, you know, helping the people in Gaza to get food and water, you know, as opposed to let's do October 7th over and over again. I mean, to me, that's hate speech.
And that's so and so forth. But about Trump, hold on, I'm going to give you a heart attack. I think he's going to get off.
Oh, you did? Now, why? Why? That's
I'll
amazing. I
why.
Am going to have
I'll
a heart attack.
This is not January 6th. This is not Atlanta. This is about paperwork, putting the check given to the girl. Did he do this? Did he do that? The jurors that will be in this jury, and well, New York, as you know, has the smartest people in the world, as far as I'm concerned. So they will look at this case and look at the paperwork and have to decide, did she get paid here? Did this movement here? And that's what will determine it. I think they have to look at all the paperwork, and that's what will either convict them or not convict them. I think he'll walk.
Wow, Stan, I am going to have a heart attack that you think he will walk. I'm not so sure. It sounds like the fix is in. But maybe there's one juror with a conscience. Maybe one juror with a moral compass.